Okay, so I just got down from a, just came down from upstairs where we just ended a very long meeting, actually over an hour, and that's pretty long for a telephone call. We did not know when I went up there today, we did not know that there, if there was going to be a vote. A vote was called during the meeting, and then we had a very, very long discussion talking about a variety of issues, financial issues, candidate interest, First of the Nation status. I would say those are the three, those were the three topics and the driving force. And in the end, financial candidate interest and our First of the Nation status. And those were the three things that we all discussed. I mean, obviously the first two are tied together. If you do not have candidate interest, you do not have the financial dollars to actually even break even. We had reduced our costs significantly. This was not going to be a major fundraiser for us this year. It was altogether different. We tried to do that to make it more appealing to candidates. Candidates, and I actually don't say this, I mean, am I disappointed? Yes. But I don't say this really with any animus towards the candidates. They made decisions that were good for their campaign. RPI exists to help promote Republican candidates. And I would much rather spend my time highlighting Hillary's dysfunctionality as a potential president than trying to game a particular candidate to back him into a corner and force him to boon. And so we set the table, and if you look, if you Google, the first time I said this was clear back in December, that we are going to provide a venue for a straw poll. Not one single candidate, not one, told me or told anyone that Boone was a bad move. In fact, Moore said it was a good move. So that's a red herring, if that is brought out. But bottom line is they made decisions that they believed were good for their campaign, and we set the table, and they didn't come to dinner. And so I'm going to reheat that, and we're going to use it for the general election to make sure that that we have a Republican in the White House. A couple of things, just to, you know, besides the candidate interest, you know, the most important thing I do, and you guys heard, I believe you both were in the room about a year ago when I said the most important thing I do is our First of the Nation status. There is a point when advocacy becomes pushy and even bullying, and that does not bode well for our First of the Nation status. When I walked into this building, I had two strikes already in terms of our First Nation status. We had the ridiculousness that occurred in Tampa, and then we've had some really, really poor decision making in terms of preserving our First Nation status. So I inherited two outs, and I am not going to allow, and the Central Committee is not going to allow a third out. And that's, I believe, is where we were heading with this straw poll, when you begin to almost force people to come to your fundraiser. So that's the basis of what we discussed.
There will be those who say, you know, Governor Branstad said it had outlived its usefulness. Governor Branstad clearly supported you, that this was always in the works.
Oh, sure.
How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say that is probably, I would probably say that's going to be voiced by people with ulterior motives. I find it rather ironic that some of the criticisms coming from folks that had control of the party previously that nearly ruined the party and ruined our First Nation status actually have the gall to comment about motivations now. I did everything in my power to make this go. Those of you in the media know that I did. Because everything we did was transparent. In fact, some people probably thought I was too zealous. In fact, I've had some candidates tell me they thought I was a little zealous in pushing this. So that's basically an unprincipled fib to justify actions that previously almost tore down our party. And shame on them for doing that. Because this, when you talk about First in the Nation status, this isn't about power. This is about Iowa. This is about our state.
In retrospect, was it the wrong decision in January that the state central committee made?
You know, that's a fair question. And I'll be honest, Guy, I have thought a lot about that. I really did, because, you know, I was getting it from both sides. It wasn't just Governor Branstad that was asking those questions. I had a lot of activists asking those questions. And in all fairness to most of the activists and to Governor Branstad, once the people spoke, and they did, I mean, in a major way, they were on board. Governor Branstad made calls to these candidates for us to try to bring them here. And they weren't a, you know, wink and a nod, can you come so I can tell Jeff that I've called. I was in the room on a couple of those. He pushed and helped us, and so did some of our other federal politicians. And so we did everything possible. Was it a mistake? I don't think so. We had three questions. One question was, what should we have it? And there was, it was overwhelming, yes. And then we had the question of where. And we went through a very, very thorough process. Some people were frustrated because it took us so long. I think that was a good thing. And now we've listened again. And this time, as I've said before, I had control of the first two. I had no control over this except for setting the table. And I think you won't find a candidate out there that does not have an ulterior motive. I don't think you will find a candidate out there that will critique the decisions that we made leading up to that. And in fact, if you look at the reforms that we put in place, basically what the candidate said, it wasn't enough. But not a single candidate or campaign criticized what we did.
I talked to Chuck Laudner, who actually managed the event in 2007, and he said, you know, actually this was needed now this year more than ever because there's such a large field and the winnowing effect. Is that a regret?
I agree with Chuck Laudner. I mean, part of the function of the straw poll was going to be winnowing. And now we have to ask the question, who's going to be doing the winnowing? It's going to be our caucus voters. And it's, there's a lot of states, especially states like California, for example, with ballot initiatives that are used to taking a lot more time before making their decision. Our caucus voters are going to have, more time and more thoughtfulness and in winnowing through 15. I agree with Chuck Laudner. And yes, that is I'm disappointed, Kay. I mean, just because we voted and I'm going to go ahead with this, I'm disappointed. And not having this winnowing effect is one of those. I'm disappointed for my activists. I'm disappointed that I think we could have had a beautiful sight in Boone. Thank goodness that we have the leadership that we do now, and I'm not just talking about myself, I'm talking about the State Central Committee, who I work for, that we have the financial resources, that we're going to be able to carry out these caucuses in a strong way, and you know, the candidates made their decision. They're going to have to ask themselves after the caucuses, did we make the right decision? You know, I've got to ask myself, did I make the right decision putting this out on the table? I think the answer is yes, and I think the State Central Committee would say yes. They're going to have to ask themselves, and my hunch is some campaigns are going to say, okay, this turned out fine. I think we're going to have some other campaigns say, boy, I really think that the straw poll would have helped here.
Now, is it true that Steve King was a big player in pushing for it to begin with?
Well, you know, one thing about our federal politicians during all this, they were very upfront about where they stood. I mean, I respect that. Steve King was an adamant supporter of the straw poll, absolutely no doubt about it. And Governor Branstad had questions. Here's the thing about our politicians, and this is why I'm so proud of our five Republicans. Every single one of them, once the people made the decision, because make no bones about it, it was the people that pushed the Central Committee to that unanimous vote, they all got behind this, and they all did their best. I have no complaints, none, about any of our office holders.
So when did Branstad make these calls you said he made? He told us in May that you hadn't asked him to do that.
No, he's been making these calls of
most recently,
yes,
like in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
And it wasn't just Governor Branstad. We have had, I would say, nothing short of, I want to make sure I'm being accurate here. We have had at least 10 people with some degree of influence making personal calls. And that's not counting all of the local activists that have been making the calls. I was at an event not too long ago, and two people, none prompted. I don't even think the one even knew I was a party chair, nor do I think they cared. And they came up and said, are you going to the straw poll? You need to go to the straw poll. So, it was a full court press. It was laid back, because remember, the looming cloud over here is always first of the nation status. And we did not want to come off pushy, bullying, forcing, anything like that.
How many tickets did you sell?
I'm gonna, not enough.
Do they get refunds?
There will be an offer when we have that trace. And I believe, yes. I'm almost positive that we know where.
We can refund.
No, I know, but we have, we know who, yeah, we would have a physical trace of all of those tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, is the short answer.
Because people don't usually buy tickets to the straw poll. You can't even buy them.
Right.
They don't want to reveal ahead of time how many tickets they bought. So they would click them over a day ahead so that it wouldn't leak how many people they have coming. So it's really not shocking that you didn't sell them.
That is correct. No, that's correct, because...
What?
Could we do one more question? I've got a list of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, four years ago, there was 23,000 tickets sold, and 18,000 of those 23,000 were purchased by campaigns. I mean, that's the bulk of this. 23,000, 18, those are round numbers, obviously. And here, and so my point is, I appreciate, I mean, I'm not being smart alecky. I appreciate when campaigns told me that they would come to the straw poll, but they weren't going to play. The problem is, if you say you're coming to the straw poll and not going to play, that means you're going to give a speech and we're not going to sell any tickets, you know, that way. So, I mean, I appreciate them wanting to come, but that doesn't finance a straw poll. We passed out almost every one of them the night of our Lincoln dinner.
Okay, so they were, did anyone formally RSVP say yes or
no?
No.
No. We, but you know, in all fairness, a lot of this happens behind the scenes. We know who's coming and who isn't.
What were some of the arguments for against?
It was almost all campaign oriented. There was only one candidate was negative about this. Are you talking about the?
Yeah, the vote upstairs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the candidates. Ask the question again.
So, what were the arguments on the board, on the central committee, for or against?
Oh, the arguments against. I wouldn't necessarily call them arguments against, because when you don't have candidates coming to this, it's pretty obvious. That it's financially it's not going to work out. I think there was a great deal of disappointment. There was a great deal of disappointment, and it wasn't so much for us, because this wasn't going to be one of our major fundraisers. It was disappointment for the activists that want to attend this. But the arguments against, again, were it's not going to balance. It is not going to balance financially. You can't have it if there's not candidates and first of the nation. We have to keep our eye on the ball. The previous regime put us in a heck of a position. And I will spend the majority of my time at every RNC meeting from here on out advocating positively for Iowa and cleaning up past messes.
We heard your voice up there. Did you have to get passionate in arguing for this? Or?
No, I was laughing. I always try to throw laughter in there. No.
We could hear you for about 15 minutes very loudly. We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, no, I was doing a lot of joking. I had to throw it out. No, I don't think
honestly,
there was any
just
argument.
Yelling into a conference call.
Okay. So
well, we had two people on cell phones, and then we had one person in the room, and nobody could hear anything. And Ron, can you hear what they're saying? All right, Bill.
Are you relieved?
No, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for our folks. I worry. Your winnowing question was spot on. I'm worried about that. I know that the voters are going to be able to handle this. But I just wish we could have had this tradition. And, you know, I'm a rural guy. I'm a history teacher. I like traditions. The candidates chose to not go with this tradition. So now what we're going to do is we're going to make the most important tradition, which is our caucus, we're going to make it the absolute best caucus that we've ever had, and we're going to do it in conjunction with the Democrats. So actually my hat comes from a partisan hat, and now I put on the nonpartisan hat with Dr. McGuire.
So we